Keir Starmer has refused to hold a public inquiry into Britain's role in the genocide in Gaza. So Jeremy Corbyn has decided to do it himself.
I think the truth needs to be told. Information needs to be provided. So if the government won't organise an open public inquiry, if Parliament won't effectively inquire into what's going on, it remains for us to do it.
The former Labour Party leader has convened a People's Tribunal, a format often used by social movements when people in power block formal paths to justice. He's been hearing evidence from doctors who've been to Gaza, Palestinian journalists who've witnessed war crimes firsthand, as well as academics, lawyers, and campaigners.
Let me tell you about Ali and Aya, a brother and sister who I treated in Al-Aqsa Hospital last year. They were the sole remaining members of their family. Their parents and their siblings had all been killed by a bomb that bombed their tent in Al-Mawasi, the so-called safe area, we're told, by the Israeli propaganda. Ali had a severe chest injury. Aya had a severe leg injury. We had to treat both of them without any pain relief at all. We had run out of all pain relief that day in Al-Aqsa Hospital. I can still hear their screams as we treated them without any anaesthetic at all.
These records tell us that by every metric, the level of civilian harm in Gaza is simply incomparable with any 21st century air campaign. It is the most fatal conflict for civilians that we have ever documented.
This is the first event of its kind that seeks to get to the bottom of Britain's complicity in Gaza. Among those to give evidence will be our colleague, John McAvoy, who many of you will have seen has been doing cutting-edge investigations on this subject.
Today I'm going to present evidence that we at Declassified contend could implicate UK ministers in war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza. The first thing I want to talk about, which has already been covered somewhat, is F-35 shipments to Israel. So it's well known that the UK is a key supplier of F-35 parts that go into global pools, which then supply Israel. But what is still not widely known is that the UK was directly transferring fighter jet parts to Israel throughout the first year of the Gaza genocide. So last year, Declassified and The Ditch revealed that 14 shipments of F-35 parts were sent directly from Britain to Never Team Air Base between October 2023 and September 2024. At least two of those shipments took place under Keir Starmer's Labour government. Crucially, these shipments were sent from a Royal Air Force base in Norfolk, RAF Marham, making the British armed forces themselves directly complicit in the supply of arms to a state committing genocide. In September last year, the Labour government announced arms restrictions on Israel, suspending some 30 arms export licences and the direct supply of F-35 components to Israel. But these arms restrictions, we contend, were largely a smokescreen for business as usual. Shipping documents, once again obtained by Declassified and The Ditch, indicate that the vast majority, around 90%, of all F-35 exports from Britain are sent directly to the US, where they can be, you know, onward exported to Israel. It's therefore highly unlikely that the ban on direct exports of F-35 parts to Israel will have made a significant impact on the supply chain of fighter jet parts from Britain to Israel altogether. And even after the September arms restrictions, F-35 parts bound for Israel were allowed to be shipped through London Stansted Airport. Inquiries to the Foreign Office about how this was allowed to happen remain unanswered. The Labour government's arms restrictions on Israel have functioned as a smokescreen for business as usual in another crucial way. In his announcement on 2nd September 2024, UK Foreign Secretary David Lammy said that the suspensions would cover equipment for use in the current conflict in Gaza. We contend that Lammy's definition of "for use in the current conflict in Gaza" is fatuous and fundamentally misleading. So in terms of trainer aircraft, components for trainer aircraft were excluded from the arms suspensions because they're supposedly not for use in the current conflict in Gaza, even though Israeli pilots rely on UK-made parts to learn to fly the fighter jets which are being used to annihilate Gaza. So shipping documents have revealed how aerospace firm Moog in Wolverhampton has sent at least 10 shipments of M346 LAVI components to Israel since December 2024, so after the restrictions. The M346 LAVI is a high-performance aircraft designed to train pilots to fly advanced fighter jets, including the F-16 and the F-35. So the UK government is therefore still facilitating the training of Israeli pilots who will go on to drop 2,000-pound bombs on men, women and children in Gaza. And it's not just parts for trainer aircraft that have been exported to Israel since Labour's suspensions in September 2024. Permoid, an engineering firm in County Durham, has sent over 1,000 ammunition containers to Israel since October 2023. Around 300 of those containers were exported in April 2025, once again under the Labour government. Most of these containers were sent to an Elbit Systems factory near Tel Aviv, which produces mortar shells for the IDF. So once again, the UK government would seemingly have us believe that facilitating the supply of ammunition containers, but not the ammunition itself, is a morally justifiable and legally tenable position. I now want to turn to Israeli military officers training in Britain throughout the genocide. After months of stonewalling from both Conservative and Labour governments, we discovered that Israeli army officers have been allowed to train in Britain since October 2023. This information was provided to us earlier this year in response to a Freedom of Information request after several refusals through the Freedom of Information Act. The Ministry of Defence said that fewer than five Israeli officers had trained at the prestigious Royal College of Defence Studies in 2023 and 2024. But we subsequently found that at least one of those Israeli soldiers graduated from the RCDS just last month. So even as recently as last month, the UK is training soldiers from an army that is actively committing genocide. And it's not just Israeli soldiers training in Britain. The UK government has welcomed several high-ranking Israeli officers to Britain since October 2023, often providing them with special diplomatic immunity to protect them from private arrest applications under universal jurisdiction legislation. That list includes, but may extend, because all of these visits were intended to occur in secrecy. So there may be many other Israeli military officers that have visited. But the list includes Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, the IDF's then Chief of the General Staff, who had been directing the Israeli military's operations throughout the Gaza genocide. He visited Britain in November 2024, and the Foreign Office provided him with special diplomatic immunity, protecting him from arrest for war crimes. Then there was Major General Oded Basiuk, head of the Israeli military's operations directorate, who was overseeing Gaza operations as well. He attempted to secretly visit Britain in January 2025, but Declassified managed to doorstep him outside Roussi in London. And most recently, there was Major General Toma Bar, the commander of the Israeli Air Force, which has been overseeing, you know, the key player in the decimation of Gaza. Bar was subsequently identified in the chain of command of Israeli officers responsible for the killing of five Al Jazeera journalists in Gaza last month. He was allowed to visit Britain in July 2025, just 2 months ago. The final thing I want to talk about, well, I know it will be covered in broader detail tomorrow, is intelligence support. So there's been over 600 spy flights from the RAF since December 2023. These spy flights, remarkably, continued during the ceasefire early this year. The UK government's rationale for the spy flights is that they're supposedly looking for hostages and they have no offensive duties whatsoever. But at this time, the last remaining British hostage was actually being released, and this kind of destroyed the rationale for the continuation of the spy flights, and in fact looked very much like the British government was continuing to spy over Gaza to help the Israeli forces prepare for a resumption of war, so had very little confidence in the ceasefire that they supposedly supported themselves. There's been several spy flights that have gone over Gaza either before or during massacres, and there are serious concerns about what intelligence the RAF is using in order to decide where they look for supposedly look for hostages, and whether any of that intelligence has been gleaned through torture of Palestinian hostages and captives, given we know about the pervasive and systematic use of torture by Israeli forces against Palestinians. Now, jumping back to a question that you asked Richard about the extent to which ministers are actually aware of the extent of war crimes in Gaza, one thing that shocked me is that in a Foreign Affairs Select Committee, it was admitted that the Foreign Office, when trying to review whether Israel is committed to complying with international humanitarian law, they were asked whether they've requested to see the footage from the spy flights. I mean, Britain has had an eye over Gaza for much of this genocide. They can pick up communications. The Foreign Office Minister said they have not even asked to see this footage. They have one of the greatest databases of genocide in recent history. Yet the Foreign Office and the unit that is supposed to decide whether Israel is complying with the international humanitarian law has not even asked to view it, which I think is an incredible admission. My very final point is that it's worth noting that most of this information that has been cited now has been either ignored or suppressed by Britain's corporate media, which also needs to be investigated for complicity in this genocide. Thank you.